Hey, this is Greg Berger, and you are listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
You are now on the inside of what I like to call the Circle of Trust. We are all connected in the great circle of life.
You know something, Bert?
What?
I think you and I are going in circles.
It feels like we're going in circles.
Circle is now complete. When I left you, I was but the learner. Now I am the master.
Because it's a circle.
Yeah, we heard about the circle.
Yes, we're familiar with shapes.
Hi, this is Greg.
This is Chuck.
And this is Dan, and we are Talking in Circles, brought to you by the GeekCast Radio Network, the podcast that loves summer all the time. Today, we are doing another epic top five as we talk about our favorite things to do in the summer. It's the 4th of July weekend, so it seems a perfect time to kick back and, you know, grab a few brewskis in the backyard and just watch some fireworks, I guess. But before we get to the fun of the summer, how's the week been going for you guys?
Very good, thanks to Chuck.
Yes, I have quite a story to share. Well, as you probably know, When we're recording this, it'll probably be last week as you're listening, but the New York Comic Con tickets went on sale, and I actually left work early that day so that I can go home and get logged on to get them. And I felt there was no way around it because I'm not allowed to purchase anything on the computers at work, and I was afraid if I waited till I get home, they would all be sold out. Because, you know, in the infinite wisdom of the New York Comic Con people, they have them go on sale at 12 noon, you know, because no one works at all during the day, you know. So I leave work early. I get home. I make sure I get logged in and everything. The link, like it says, you can't get on early, so I have to wait till 12. And I'm having this issue on this particular morning with my... with the card that I'm going to use to pay for the tickets. Just the night before, I had gotten an email that my card was declined when I went to purchase something else. So I'm trying to, like, I'm waiting to hear back from the bank and everything. I finally get in touch with them. And the lady's like, oh, you know, I'm gonna have to look into this and see why isn't it working? Because it's like a check card, not a credit card. But so I'm like, well... I'm like, how long do you think it would take? Because I'm like, I kind of need to use the card to buy these tickets again in like half an hour. So she calls me back really quick and she's like, yeah, you're not going to be able to use that card. It was canceled because they're sending out like new cards to like all of our customers.
So why don't they cancel it after you get the new card?
Well, they did. The thing was, I had totally forgot that I got the new card. Like 2 months ago.
Oh.
I opened it and it like fell down behind my table thing. And I just like totally forgot about it. And apparently like the day before was when my old one ran out. And so I'm like, I felt like a giant idiot. And so she's like, yeah, this one's not going to work if you're trying to make another purchase. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to have to use my other card that I didn't really want to use, but it's not that big of a deal. So I get on, and you can't log on to the ticket thing before 12 because it says, like, it doesn't put you ahead of anyone. Like, you have to wait till 12. So I'm actually, like, I'm looking at the clock on my computer, and I have my cursor over the link in the email. It's 11:59. I'm, like, right over top of it. Like, instantaneously, when it turns to 12, I tap the link, and I get into the queue. Like, it was, like, instantaneously. So I'm in there, and I'm like, all right, I got to be, like, at the very front, pretty much. I'm, like, I'm thinking, like, 5-10 minutes tops I'm going to have my tickets, you know? And no, that's not what happened. So I'm waiting, like, 10 minutes goes by, 20, 30, 40... Finally, like, there was a couple of points where my little cursor, like, wheel would start spinning, and then in the bottom it would say connecting, like, on the bottom of my screen. And I was like, yes, I'm in. And then, like, just nothing would happen. I'd be like, damn it!
New York Comic Con is such a tease.
I know. They're, like, taunting me. They did that twice. So then, at, like, 12:54, the page cuts out, and it says, error, like, page lost, or something like that, or, oh, you know, something. Yeah. And I was like, oh, shit! At that point, I let out this, like, extremely loud scream that probably could have been heard three towns away. I thought I had been kicked out of the queue, and so I was, like, super pissed. But there was a little blue reload button there. So I'm like, all right, you know, even if I got kicked out, maybe it'll kind of, you know, put me back into the queue. So I click reload, and all of a sudden this page comes up, this different page, where you can select your tickets and fill your information out. I'm like, holy shit, I'm in.
Why didn't this fail earlier?
It's a glitch in the Matrix. It's like...
And you have a timer, like you only have 15 minutes to make your purchase, and then it, like, if you don't, you know, it kicks you out. So I do it as fast as I can, get my information in, and I hit submit. As soon as I hit submit, next page comes up, it says 404 error, page not found. I'm like, no! I'm like screaming. I thought I lost it again. No sooner did I let the scream out, my phone beeps. I get an email. I open the email. It's my confirmation and receipt for my tickets. So it did go through. And I'm like, oh my God, this is like the worst roller coaster ever. It was like torture. So I ended up getting the four tickets. They were just Saturday single day tickets. While I was in the queue, the 3-day tickets sold out. And I think not long after that, the 4-day tickets sold out. And actually, it was by 3 o'clock. In only a matter of 3 hours, all of the tickets were sold out, I think.
Jeez.
And,
Well, Saturday and the 4-day and the 3-day sold out. Because later on in the day, I had my own situation going on. I forgot about it. I was terrible. So it was like 5 minutes after until I clicked the link. I nearly crapped myself then. and then I was waiting in line, and Chuck got the Saturday tickets, and I was still kind of waiting for my boss and his wife, who wanted to go, to see if I could get them anything. Then Saturday sold out, and so I was like, well, I guess they're not going this year, because I didn't think they would want to go without us or something.
Right.
So I just closed out of it, and I told my boss later, and he seemed very ticked off at me. Like, for him, ticked off is just, like, kind of quiet. And he was kind of quiet with me, so I wasn't exactly sure if he was just being quiet or if he was ticked off.
Yeah.
So I went through the day and just kind of avoided him. And then later on, I was like, well, let's see what's going on. And I logged in at, like, the end of my workday at 5 o'clock, and there were still tickets available for Thursday, Friday, and Sunday.
Oh, okay.
So I got him and his wife tickets for Sunday. I paged him and asked him if he wanted them, and he was like, yes! So I got him Sunday tickets.
That's good.
I probably could have went with Sunday, too. I didn't want to go through the whole rigmarole of trying to figure out how to work everything out. So
yeah. Well, that's weird, because they actually, the Comic-Con Facebook page, at 3 o'clock, they said all tickets are now sold out. I'm not sure why if that was a mistake, maybe. Or
I have no, who knows?
Yeah. It was. Well, good for you that it wasn't.
Yeah.
Or not, good for your boss, I should say.
Yeah, I'm no longer in deep shit.
But, yeah, super excited. I went on the next day and linked up the, you know, the emails. You had to do that fan verification thing where you know.
Which I tried the day of to do it, and then the next day I was, like, talking to you about it, and you're like, yeah, there was a little thing that said tomorrow at noon. I'm like, did not read that. And then you quoted Reading Rainbow to me.
Craig's like, what is reading? I'm like, take a look. It's in a book.
Reading Rainbow.
Nice.
But, yeah, so super excited. You know, too bad Dan can't go with us, but we'll be having our own fun in Baltimore soon enough. So
nice. Very cool. Yeah. New York, and there's a lot of people going to that this year, at least Star-wise, so maybe Lou Ferrigno if you're lucky. So
no, thank you.
I'm hoping to be my my first chance to actually meet Stan Lee, because he's going to be there. Maybe first and last chance.
Yeah, I heard that it's his last year at New York Comic Con, and it might be his last for a lot of cons, but he's getting up there.
Yeah.
I heard signatures from him are $100 a pop.
Really?
Yes.
I might have to rethink this.
when I was at Pittsburgh, I got it for $50. But my ex next door neighbor, I was talking to him, and he said it's his last appearance, and it's $100 a pop.
That's probably New York Comic Con looking at that too.
Yeah.
That stinks. I hate it. That's ridiculous. But interesting. So, yeah. Wow. I don't have a New York Comic Con story, but I do have a weird story as well. So last weekend. I had a family wedding. It was actually my son's first wedding we went to. He didn't get married.
he looked very good in his tux, though.
He did. He was snazzy. But he had a pretty rough morning the next morning, though, as so many... Too much to drink, yeah. That apple juice can hit you hard. So actually...
Slow release.
Yeah. The morning after, so he wakes up. We were actually staying at my wife's aunt's house. She let us stay there. She's the one that got married, and she's actually gone. So we stayed at her place, which was nice. We were getting a hotel. But he wakes up. He's being really cranky, and I'm actually in the kitchen trying to get him to calm down, because every room is taken. So I was taking him to a place where there's no one, so we can try to calm down. In that process, he just vomits everywhere, mostly on me, 99% on me. So it's just it's milk, so that's amazing. It's going, so it's all right, well, no choice. We're just gonna give him a bath, and the sink right there was right there, and it's a pretty big sink, so it's just gonna give him a bath right in the sink. So we put him in the sink, start washing him, and it's the water starts getting cloudy, and I'm what's going on? I'm oh, there must have been some food in the drain, because we washed dishes there, or he was playing with tops, maybe the tops fell over. I'm oh, did he throw up again? And I'm No, that's poop. He's pooping in the sink. So I'm let me get you out of this bath into another bath. So that was a fun weekend. So while you getting your Comic-Con tickets, I was bathing my son in a shitty sink. So.
Did he pee too to make it the trifecta?
He probably did. It was just clouded over. Well, actually, funny story about that. I was actually at work, but I get a sound from my wife, and it's just of my son running naked, and he's yeah, he peed on the carpet. Apparently, in the process of trying to get cream, getting a diaper change, she went to the other room to get it, and he got up and ran to our glass door. And when she was coming out, all she heard Rotter running. So he was just standing, just peeing right on the door, laughing hysterically. I'm you got to mark your territory somehow. So there you go.
That is an awesome story.
Oh, man.
So it's a lot of bodily fluids this weekend. And he actually got thrown up on 2 days after that, too. Every morning it was just a tradition. But luckily... He's better now. We're home this weekend. We're in Scranton. If it sounds different this week, it's because we're actually doing this in person. We can see each other. It's amazing. But one thing I did do today, actually, I had no idea this was going on, Chuck. I don't know if you knew about it, but I go to Amazon. I have Amazon Prime, and it's this show called All or Nothing, Arizona Cardinals. I'm what is this? I thought it was they do those yearly yearbook things or something that.
Yeah.
But I guess it's almost like NFL Hard Knocks, but instead of being about preseason, it's this 8-episode season of their 2015 season. It followed them in every game, starting at the draft all the way through the NFL season, interviewing players. It was the first time they've ever had a film crew follow a team like that. And I had no idea that was even going on. So
yeah, I hadn't heard anything about that either.
So I watched the first two episodes. And it starts, it gets a little bit into the draft, not a lot. I actually wish it kind of went into that more. And that section was actually somewhat disappointing because of how dull it was. It was nothing like draft day at all. No. It was just they were just in a room. It was so dull. They were just they were going to draft, Abdullah, and they were talking, they were showing that, and they're getting ready to draft him. And then Detroit gets in there. They're upset about it, but it just,
Well, that's usually one of the most exciting parts of the year, yeah. Like the draft. Yeah. Kind of surprised that it was boring.
I don't know if it was just the way that they edited it, but it wasn't like, they were just in their conference room and it didn't really make it a big deal about it. But the rest of, the most of it though is about the actual season. It starts with game one and it's talking about, like, you know, the year before with Carson Palmer getting hurt and how, you know, they were like 13-3, like the, one of the favorites to go all the way. He gets there and then they get to like the fifth string quarterback and they don't get very far in the playoffs. So the idea is like this is like their year or this is their best chance, and it's overall it's okay. I really do like HBO's Hard Knocks, and I think that's much better than this. And I couldn't figure out why, but I think essentially is that I know this the answer to this already. Like I watched the season last year.
Right.
With Hard Knocks, you kind of it's a week by week, so it's usually a week behind. But it's also it highlights players more and players like I'm like they maybe they make the team maybe they don't. There's actually some drama there.
Yeah.
You get to know them. This one is it's not as much. I don't feel like you, it's I mean, it's only I'm only 20 episodes in and I don't think it's filmed nearly as well. Like the gameplay, like I think they couldn't actually get game footage. It's a lot of like their cameras on the sidelines which aren't as good. So I think that affects it as well. But it's a decent watch. It's enjoyable. If I was an Arizona Cardinals fan, I'd probably enjoy it more. There are some cool moments, like Chris Johnson. There's an interesting, you get to see him signed. Again, it's so uneventful. It's like at a table at a hotel. It's like, I don't know. It's not very glamorous whatsoever. But
Motel 6?
Yeah. The most of the focus has been on the coach so far. He's an interesting character. And I was watching it. I'm like, I wonder, is this going to be uncensored? Is this going to be like, and then like the first 5 minutes, he's just cursing up a storm. I'm like, yep, yeah, it is. Yeah, there you go. So
is that Bruce Arians?
Yeah. A football fan, I think you would enjoy it. But if you're not a football fan, I don't think you would. Like, unlike Hard Knocks, which I think would appeal to anyone. But
do they have like players like mic'd up so you could hear what they're saying during the games and stuff?
Or? They had Carson Palmer mic'd up for the game. That was actually interesting. They had him mic'd up for the game he got hurt.
Oh, okay.
So that you got to like hear him as he got hurt and like his reaction,
yeah.
Which was kind of heartbreaking because you hear him saying, please don't be my ACL, please don't be my ACL.
Oh, man.
And you're like, that's what it was. So, but not so much. They haven't, at least the first few games. But I don't know if that'll change going forward.
So, and you said, what is it, 8 episodes?
It's like 8 episodes, I think, yeah. Something like that. They're about 45, 50 minutes each.
So what's their, like, rhyme or reason for doing the Cardinals? Like, are they doing other teams too, or is it just...
It's like... just the Cardinals. I think, well, it's all or nothing, so I don't know if they picked the Cardinals because they thought it was a team that had an opportunity to go win the championship or go far. Maybe they thought they had some interesting storylines because you have this, you know, aging quarterback in Carson Palmer coming back from injury. I don't know really the reason that they chose them, but I guess they looked at the Cardinals as a team that is like this, like either it's this year or not for them, considering like how old a lot of their players are.
Yeah,
but I'm not really sure.
And maybe it's a little bit like Hard Knocks, where they just pick one team every year to.
Could have been the team that said yes.
To. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So, but yeah.
And hey, can we like tag along with your team with like some cameras and stuff like?
Well, it was kind of cool. I didn't know they did this, but I guess so. The one game they were playing, so they played, I think, St. Louis, and then they had Pittsburgh the next. Instead of going back home to Arizona, they ended up staying in West Virginia at like a college campus or something like that, where the one of the teams, where the Saints actually have their a mini camp or something, like that, which was cool. But It's interesting watching other players watch football. Just, I don't know, something about that. But
yeah.
If you have Amazon Prime, it's free, so check it out.
Cool.
I don't know if you guys watched anything. I think, Greg, you said...
I'm almost done with a season watching the all of Alphas, and that's about it. That's all I've really
been... Is that the sci-fi show?
That is the sci-fi show. So far, not a huge recommend from me, but I'll discuss it maybe more next week.
Nice. And I know, Chuck, you watched a fan film, which I've never actually sat down and watched a fan film, so I'm interested in hearing what that was like.
Yes, this was actually a Star Wars fan film.
Nice.
Which is kind of hard to pull off because there's a lot of harsh critics out there in that particular subject. So this one, I found out about it online. I think actually I ended up seeing it on Twitter, so probably a lot of other people ended up seeing this too, but... I figured I'd give it a watch right then and there. It was actually a little longer than I thought. I thought it would be like sort of this 5-minute thing. It's actually just a little bit over 17 minutes long.
Okay. I think you say 17 hours. I'm like, oh, jeez.
No, it's not a Lord of the Rings fan film.
Yeah.
But it's called Darth Maul Apprentice.
That's why you watched it.
Yes. Darth Maul. As you guys know, Darth Maul, I think other than Obi-Wan, is my favorite Star Wars character. So it immediately grabbed my attention. And just seeing the guy in the makeup, it looked like an amazing makeup job.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, all right, this actually might be legit, you know, like I figured I'd check it out. So I started watching it. I didn't know how long it was. I figured it'd be real quick. And I got sucked in and I started realizing like, wow, how long is this thing? Like it's actually really well done. It picks up with Darth Maul sort of, he's in this room and he's looking at sort of like holographic video images of like Jedi and different things like that. And you hear this sort of monologue by Palpatine, by Darth Sidious. And he's sort of explaining how they're sort of lying in wait for the right moment to strike back against the Jedi and stuff like that. And all of a sudden there's like a notification on the thing that there's a ship incoming on that planet. So you see Darth Maul leave and, he sort of meets, I'm not going to tell the whole story here, but just the basic, he sort of meets these Jedi out in the woods in this really, really cool setting. I don't know where they filmed it or anything, but they found a really, really cool location. It actually looked like it would be something out of like a planet from a Star Wars movie. It looked really, really cool. There's like this huge cliff face, and then there's like this really nice looking forest and everything. And you see Darth Maul, he actually engages like five or six Jedi at the same time. And there's no one in particular, like, no Jedi in the movie that we really recognize, that I could recognize anyway. They're kind of just, like, younger, sort of no-name ones.
Generic Jedi.
Yeah. GJ. but basically, like, there's this huge lightsaber battle. And this thing was one of the best, if not the best, choreographed lightsaber battle that I've ever seen.
Wow.
Either by Lucasfilms or by fans. Like, this thing was amazing. And I think honestly, this puts some of the ones in the movies to shame, how well this was choreographed. Like I said, he's taken on, like, five Jedi by himself. Obviously, he's got the double-bladed lightsaber, and it kind of helps with that. But, you know, he's using the Force push and, like, all these tricks. Like, they're kind of incorporating everything. Like, they're doing, like, acrobatic flips. There's this one kid playing a Jedi that's, like, super acrobatic, like you would expect Darth Maul to be. And this Jedi kid's, like, doing flips and stuff, like, sideways flips and backward flips and somersaults. And I'm like, holy shit, like, this is, like, really, really impressive that these people are doing this. Like, it's not just, like, a bunch of dorks in their backyard with, like, glow sticks, you know what I mean? Like,
fireball, yeah.
And it was edited really well. The dialogue is impressive. The story is actually impressive. Like, you find out it's sort of like Darth Maul's final test to become a Sith, to become the apprentice of Darth Sidious. And they kind of get you going one way. Like, you think you know what's going to happen, and then it sort of kind of goes the other way, which I was happy about. And I just like that little bit of twist in it. I like the story. And then it kind of wraps up at the end with a hologram of Darth Sidious, like, speaking to Maul again and kind of saying that you're now my apprentice, you're like a Sith Lord and stuff like that. And it's really, really cool. I was just super impressed with the quality level of it.
So, like, even special effects wise, do you, like, are there ships or anything like that, like spaceships?
There are ships. There are ships, and there's a couple of little flying droids, even, like, there's actually, like, this small flying droid that has, like, a camera. It's kind of like our drones that people like, take video of and put on YouTube, but it's got this big, like, red camera lens, and I think Sidious is, like, watching him, and there's a couple other droids that he calls down that are, like, they shoot little lasers and stuff like that. So they kind of help him in the battle with the Jedi and stuff. But just super impressed all the way around. I would highly recommend you give it a watch. It's not brand new. I think this has been out for a while because I did see this, see mention of this quite a few months ago. But for some reason, it's kind of making its circulation again around the internet. I'm seeing it pop up on Facebook and Twitter quite a bit now. So if you see it pop up on one of your pages, definitely check it out. If you're interested in it, just all you got to do is Google, or I mean, just search on YouTube, really. But you can Google Darth Maul Apprentice fan film, and it'll come up. Like I said, it's about 17 minutes long, a little bit longer than that. But yeah, highly, highly recommend it. It's really, really well done for a fan film. I'm super impressed.
Because I've seen a lot of really bad fan films. So.
Believe it or not, I actually liked it more than The Phantom Menace. Like, it was, everything about it was better than that movie.
Nice. Did the guy, like, look like, he, overall, was he convincing as Darth Maul? Like,
oh, absolutely. Looked, yeah. Yeah. It was, the makeup was spot on. The cost, like, the costume design for all the characters was spot on. The acting was actually pretty decent. Like, you know, it was, it wasn't, like, too corny or anything. Like, maybe a couple of tiny spots, but I think all the way around, they did a great job on it.
Nice. Very nice. Very cool. Alrighty, well, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking about our top five favorite things to do in the summer. So, streaking, of course, number one for us all. We'll see you in a bit.
Hello, geeks. Want a podcast that covers a vast array of topics with no rhyme or reason? Then check out Altered Geek Unlimited, where the topics fly more or less off the cuff. We cover media news, TV, our favorite geek products, and of course, your feedback. So get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks every Friday on the GeekCast Radio Network.
All right, and welcome back. Yes, with it being 4th of July week in the summertime, we are going to be talking about our top five favorite things to do in the summer. You know, it should be a more laid-back edition of Talking Circles, some fun things to do. I don't know if you guys had any sort of criteria, what you were thinking. You know, you thinking all time, you thinking of mixture of stuff you enjoy doing now with the stuff you enjoyed doing growing up. I don't know if you guys had any game plan going in whatsoever.
I went freeballing as per usual.
All right.
I went, like, I guess all time, like, pretty much what I have done in the past and what I like to do now, even though I don't get the time to do some of the things. I still enjoy it. I still put them on the list.
Yeah, I barely get a summer anymore because that's usually when I'm busy. So I still, though, occasionally sneak a few things in there. But with that in mind, maybe, Chuck, you can kick us off. What was, I personally, and this didn't really rank them, but, you know, what was, what's number five on your list?
On my list, I actually had a few extra things, so I weeded a few things out. But I think probably my number five would be just, like, going to the beach or, you know, going on any kind of vacation for the summer. I've been to the beach a few times. I thoroughly enjoy it. Like, not everybody's a beach person. Like, I don't think you are, Dan. You're not real crazy about it. But
I'm a beach person, but, like, by, like, the second or third day, I'm like, I'm good. I'm like, yeah. This is my, I'm like, yeah, I've done, I enjoy swimming in the ocean. I'm a fan of, like, you know, hanging out at the beach, reading a good book. I did last year, I went to Miami, and that was fun. But yeah. I can't, after, like, a couple of days, I'm like, there's, you know, I'm good.
That's all, honestly, that's all I, like, go for, too. Like, maybe 3 days, maybe four at the most. But usually, like, what I'm more excited about is, like, the boardwalks and stuff, like, where all the excitement is. I love just kind of going through, because it's kind of like a giant carnival, essentially. And there's, like, tons of great food and everything. And I just like the atmosphere with all the people and everything. And like you mentioned, I do enjoy reading last year.
All of the people, quotation marks.
Right.
it is a good people watching spot.
It is. It definitely is. Except when they're obnoxious.
Yeah.
But overall, I like that. And I kind of hate when the beach is crowded. And, like, I know in years past, like, we've set up our spot. And, like, literally, like, people come down and, like, set up a thing, like, 3 feet away from you. They set up their chairs and everything. And I just, like, look at them kind of, like, with, like, a stink eye. And I'm just like, really? Like, there's a giant beach here. I'm like, you can go anywhere. Like, I realize there's people out here already, but you went 3 feet away from us. I'm like, why? What do you, why?
You looked like you guys were having so much fun, so we decided to join you.
But that aside, I do enjoy the beach. Like you mentioned, reading, I like just like the wind coming off the ocean, like the breeze.
Yeah.
And just kind of sitting under an umbrella and like reading a good book or something like that. Swimming in the ocean is like so much fun. It's so much more fun than a pool. Just like kind of riding the waves up and down. I love that part of it.
It's all the danger. It's a, you know, element. They're like, I always freak myself out that there's going to be a shark or jellyfish.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, I'm done. I saw a fin. Like, no, that's garbage. But no, it's a fin. Yeah.
Or you step on something. It's just like seaweed or something. Yeah. The one you actually stepped on a hermit crab like shell. There was a hermit crab inside of it. But
was he your pet afterwards?
No, I let him back free. It was free the hermit crab.
I wonder, like, if they were to average the amount of hermit crabs that die each year, because, like no one keeps, like, you get a hermit crab, no one keeps that longer than a month or so.
Right. Those things smell awful, too. Yeah, I used to have two hermit crabs as pets when I was younger. Cleaning out that tank was the worst.
And they probably crap inside their shell and everything, so.
It's just disgusting.
I don't even understand. That's not a pet. That's just, here's a bucket of a chore. It does nothing. You get to clean up it, you have to feed it, and it just hangs out. It's like, that's
fun. Yeah, I'm pretty sure most of them die because nobody knows what to feed them. So.
Yeah. Crabs eat crap. No, it's not going to happen. All right, Greg, what about you? What's on your list?
As usual, I have no particular order, but one of my favorite things to do, which I'm going to do this weekend, especially since it's July 4th, I'm going to barbecue, and no, not with just a regular grill, direct heat. I have my R2-D2 looking evil smoker that nice. I like to use. This weekend I'm going to make a nice pulled pork from a pork butt, of course. And I use a recipe from Chris Lilly in the Big Bob Gibson cookbook, which I really like. Last week I made a brisket, which came out really nice. So
cool. So the big question is, do you smoke your meat longer than Arby's does? They do it for 13 hours, apparently.
I will be smoking the pork butt for 14 hours.
So you got them beat. So
nice, awesome. Yeah, I mean, if I had the ability to do that, I would love to do some barbecue. That's one thing I don't like about where I live. I can't have even a grill, which miss. I miss having a grill. So one day. But all right, for me, I'm actually gonna go. So this is something. I used to do all the time, but it's something I miss. It's often I get asked, like, if, like, you know, in interviews, like, what my favorite job was, and I have a lot of favorite jobs, but honestly, one of my favorite jobs was actually working at a camp. I worked at a summer camp for a few years, like, while in college, and I loved it. Like, I loved working at a camp. It was one of my favorite things to do during the summer. I was, like, a counselor. I was a head counselor. I never went to camp as a kid in, like, a summer camp that, like, it was, you know, one that was, like, you go swimming in the lake. They had crafts, and you know, they had all that type of stuff. The only camps I went to growing up as a kid, I went to baseball camp for 2 years at Mansfield College. That was, I still stunk, so it didn't really help that much. And I went to wrestling camp during the summer. Yeah, and a wrestling room during the summer is like the hottest place on earth. But
I bet you went to band camp too.
I did. I did. Unfortunately, I was only banned for 1 year and quit because I was that good.
This one time?
So, saying, like, this one time at wrestling camp just sounds bad. So, worse, yeah. But yeah,
I always thought the idea of going to a camp would be fun, but, like, I kind of, like, we both did, but we kind of grew up in the country, and, like, I was always doing, like, stuff outside anyway, so
yeah.
There was really no point in me going to a camp or anything, but I just thought that was a fascinating idea to, like, try to just mingle with these random other strange kids
yeah.
and get to know them over the summer, but
it's I guess the camp I worked at had a ropes course, which was interesting. Seeing kids, like, some kids were great on it. Like, that was kind of the same thing too. It's like going to pay for something I would do, but I think it's more like the freedom being away. And the camp I worked at wasn't only overnight for a few days. Most of it was just a day camp, but it was just a good environment and fun thing to do. Just be outside for the entire day and get paid for it. Very little, but you know, but it was somewhat of getting paid.
any horror movie type situations going on?
No, they would do. So if, they would do a thing where they would do like ghost stories and stuff like that, but it never really amounted to anything. Like no major pranks or anything like that. important, at least when I was there, or I'm aware of. You know, I had other situations I had to deal with because I outran the oldest camp and had some really awful, because you paid very little, so you got really bad camp counselors, like the camp counselor that would offer kids smokes in order to like not do anything. Like nice. So like that was a fun time.
Sounds like a great role model.
He was a chore.
Where is he now, Dan?
I have no idea. Yeah.
Well, it's funny. There's you talk about the horror movie thing. There's actually a lake, sort of where we live, around here. It's called Crystal Lake. And if you're familiar with the Jason movies, you know he was from Camp Crystal Lake. So that was pretty funny. It's pretty funny, like going near there. You always kind of think of the Jason movies and stuff.
Nice.
It's not where they filmed it, but it is the same name. So.
Cool. We'll bring it back over to you, Chuck. What's next on your list?
I'm kind of keeping along similar lines there. I'm gonna say my next thing would be hiking and camping.
See, I camp for even less amount of time, and I'm like a day or two, and anyways. Yeah,
I love camping. I used to do it a lot more when I was younger, when I was a kid and stuff. Like I mentioned, I grew up in the country and stuff, so we could kind of just like go out into the woods, like behind the house, and just kind of have a little camp out for like a night or two, have a nice fire and everything, set up a tent and stuff. And the place I used to live, I used to have camp outs, and I would have you guys up, and we always had a great time up there, cooking food on the fire and stuff like that, and just doing random stuff, staying up till like 2 in the morning, joking around and screwing around and everything. And it was right next to this. This pond that I had, and really it was a great time. And we'd do stuff, you know, on the pond. We'd go fishing and everything, and that was a good time. It was a little crazy sometimes with the raccoons trying to get into the garbage and everything, but you know, we'd
at least we hope there are raccoons.
Yeah,
we're being invaded.
Yeah, there's a giant plane apparently going down.
Now you guys know what I have to deal with.
We're not by an airport, believe it or not, but you would think we were.
No, we were kind of by Avoca. They kind of start coming down.
Yeah.
Now you're going to get the rain noises out there, too.
It's adding that to the atmosphere, I guess.
Right. Yeah. It's a dark and stormy day. No, but, so yeah, I like camping. I don't get to do it nearly as much as I used to. I do, however, get to go camping sometimes. I do get to go hiking sometimes. I like to go to like different state parks and stuff, or even just like on some of my family's property, like up on the farm and stuff. I like going for hikes and everything. Different people I know, just kind of getting out in the woods on a nice day and just seeing what you come across. Hopefully not a bear, but I just like looking at stuff, just kind of being out in nature, a lot of fun and everything. And not like a rigorous hike, you know, where you're like, where it's like exercise, but just something that you're enjoying, sort of a slow paced, relaxed thing. Where you're just kind of checking stuff out and looking at stuff. So very relaxing, good time.
Yeah. I love everything about camping except for the sleeping part. It's just like that I can never get. It's more like the dampness of it. Like if it depends on.
I don't have any trouble falling asleep, but it's usually you kind of have to watch how you set your tent up and stuff, because if you're sleeping on like rocks and uneven ground and stuff, you can kind of have a little bit of difficult time there with your back.
Yeah. Or if it's raining out and you forget to dig a trench around your tent.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, that could be troublesome.
Very nice. Greg, so what's next on your list?
Going from some active activities to something a little bit more sedentary. I think it's something we all enjoy because we're big comic book nerds, and that is reading. Whether it be a comic book, graphic novel, or just a regular novel itself. I enjoy all those things, especially chilling outside, doing that, having the fresh air, I have a nice little hammock that I chill out in and read in that. So I enjoy myself outside reading, being lazy.
One of the most relaxing times of my like life ever was actually we were staying at Ocean City and we were at the hotel, had hammocks on the beach, like reading. I started reading and like for like 5 minutes and fell asleep because it was just like so like hit the ultimate apex of being relaxed. And
yeah, that's the best when reading turns into sleep. Yeah, and then you just you just wake up like really refreshed and you're like, wow, that was oddly satisfying.
Your mouth is in a book and it's like you got some, you know, some ink on your face. Yeah,
that happens quite often with my hammock.
Nice. So I talked about another one that I did. I don't really do now as an adult, but if I had the opportunity, I would. But growing up, we did this a deal, especially like, you know, a nice summer evening, and that was playing the epic game of Manhunt. I don't know if you guys ever played Manhunt growing up. It's basically like a glorified hide and seek in a way, but you'd have like a base that you would like bring people to, but the other team would have the ability to break people free from that base.
Huh. Yeah. I've never really played that.
Never even heard of it.
No. So it was big in our area, a lot interesting, because even like my wife's like brothers and stuff, they would play it growing up too. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. And where I grew up, there was a lot of kids. So we would have like huge games of like, you know, 20 some kids or so. Even one year played it in church. We had like all-nighters for New Year's Eve, and that was interesting, hiding in the church in different places and stuff like that. But it was fun. It's just like a, you know, it's like one of those cheap games that you could play as kids because it costs no money, but it would have a lot of fun with it. So, like I said, it's just a glorified hide-and-seek game. Not that hide-and-seek itself isn't bad, you know. That was, right. Had some good times.
All the hide-and-seek fans are outraged.
I know. They have a pretty strong lobby, so. All right, Chuck, bringing it back over to you. What's next for you?
I would say probably my next thing is something that's come about in the last, definitely more in the last 10 years because of all the movies coming out. But I think just looking forward to the summer blockbuster movies is something I really enjoy. And I like going to the movies with you guys and everything. And I get excited for those big summer blockbusters. I don't know why. It's just... it just seems more of a level of excitement than it is for sort of the winter films. It's a little bit slower time of year, I guess, but the big summer action blockbusters and things like that, I've always gotten excited for those. So something I look forward to.
Yeah, I mean, what's cool about that, too, is I feel like the summer blockbuster season is getting longer each year. Like, it's, you know, it used to be, like, starting in July, then June, now May, and like now April is like having summer blockbuster movies.
If only the weather could keep up with it.
Yeah. Yeah. I do. There's something special about like the, you know, the anticipation that you get like watching Civil War, like getting pumped up for it and finally sitting down to watch it. And it's a good time.
I kind of wait all winter for it. And when it finally comes out, like not only is it sort of a mark that like summer is here, but it's like you finally get to see this thing you've been waiting for. So
yeah, even like growing up as a kid, like even seeing something like Independence Day coming out, like I remember that was in the beginning of getting into summer movies and stuff like that. Yeah. So very cool. All right, Greg, what's next for you?
Next for me is only happened in recent years, in the past 6 or 7 years, since I got my my grown-up job. My boss every summer has a summer party, which is a lot of fun. He's a big barbecue guy as well, so he has a huge smoker, so you get a lot of smoked meat that's really well done. There's a lot of beer to try out and everything, and there's just a whole bunch of people around. You get to try different food. My favorite, he makes some fries, and then he'll get like a whole bunch of different scraps from like the brisket, the pulled pork, and like all this other different meat, and he kind of puts it in with the fries, and then he puts a couple sunny side up eggs in there, and nice. So the yolk kind of like if you pop the yolk, it kind of bleeds in and adds kind of like a gravy mix into the whole thing.
Oh, cool.
It was delicious.
I saw that on Chopped.
Really?
I'm addicted to Chopped now for some reason. Really? Like the last couple of days I've been watching it, and it just like sucks you in. If you've never watched Chopped, at the one of those chef challenge shows where they're like pitted against.
I watch a lot of that.
Yeah, good stuff. Nice.
Very cool. Next for me is something I enjoy doing before now, enjoying a great deal, and had the opportunity recently to take my son for the first time, and that's going swimming, going to a pool. Growing up as kids, we didn't have a pool to go to, so we actually went to Lackawanna State Park a lot, which is our state park around here, and they have a community pool. And think of, like, the sand lots, you know, where Squint got Lucy Peppercorn to basically make out with him, because it's this, like, community pool with a lot of people there. And
he faked he was drowning. Unconscious.
Yeah.
Drowning.
Yeah. No, that never happened, mostly because the lifeguards there really want that to happen. But it was, you know, enjoyable as a kid, going into, like, a pool like that. And then now, as an adult, I don't know why, I've always loved swimming. Recently took my son for the first time. We went to a friend's house. They had a pool. He loved it. Too much at times. Like, he wanted to just, like, dive headfirst into the water because he loves baths. And I think he just, you know, him, the concept of depth is not there yet. And then we have an apartment complex. We have a pool. There's, like, a kiddie pool. And then there's, like, a pool for, that's, like, the major pool. He wanted nothing to do with the kiddie pool. Like, he was, like, we were in there for a little bit. Like, he literally, like, climbs out of it, like, walks over and is trying to shake the gate to get into the big kids' pool. So that was a lot of fun. But I don't know. It's just relaxing, and nothing, like, beats the heat. Like, you know, air conditioning's great, but something about being able to just chill out in the pool is always a good time.
Yeah, I definitely enjoy some swimming as well. I don't get to do it nearly as much as I used to. I don't have a pool or anything right now, so it's kind of tough. But, you know, maybe one day when I find a new house or something, I can have a pool.
Yeah. If you guys ever come up, I mean, we've never gone to a pool in our place with you, but it's pretty nice, actually. It's not too bad.
I think you said there was some kind of clause that I wasn't allowed to swim in it because I would clog the filters with hair.
I don't know if that was me or if that's just a universal thing you get every year. Like, remember, Greg, you can't go into community pools.
Greg walks through the gate. Hold it there, mister.
Hair check.
Lift up the shirt. All right, you're out of here.
But Chuck, bringing it back over to you, what's next on your list?
I guess we're down to number two already for me. This one's in general, I guess, but really one of my favorite things to do in the summer is just sitting outside, just kind of hanging out.
Chilling and relaxing.
Yes, and like...
Shoot some b-ball.
Yes. Outside school. Even just kind of sitting outside. I love enjoying a good thunderstorm like we're actually having right now.
Might be coming through the record. Apologize for that.
Something about a thunderstorm is fascinating to watch. But even when it's nice out, I love, you know, just kind of hanging out on a sunny day when it's breezy and stuff. You guys mentioned reading before. Like, sometimes I like to do that outside. And just doing things like having something as simple as a small fire at night.
Nice.
It's just one of the greatest things. Like, that's why people, like, in survival situations talk about how important a fire is, not only for heat but just for morale. There's just something like that captivates you about a fire and just watching a fire and stuff like that, and that's why it's one of the favorite pastime activities of people throughout the world. But you can do s'mores, you can do hot dogs, whatever you want, or you can just kind of play with the sticks, poking in the fire. Everybody has a good time with that. So just kind of sitting outside, hanging out, and just doing random stuff. Like, it's so nice out that you don't have to worry about anything. So
yeah. Yeah. That's actually something I miss, because I, like I said, I'm busiest during the summer, so I don't get that. Like, I don't see the sun. So it's like, you know, it's a good time just to hang out on a deck, you know, a nice deck, some lawn chairs, and just chill.
Yeah.
Maybe grab some brewskis. Greg, over to you next. What do you got?
Next, I have something that we kind of mentioned already in the podcast, and that is conventions. We've only started really hitting them hard in the past couple of years, but I've really been enjoying going to a lot of conventions. And if I only hit up one convention in the year, it's kind of saddens me a little bit. Usually that one that we go to is Baltimore, which is a really kick-ass one that I can't recommend enough. It's a great place to go. There's a lot of books and stuff on sale and everything, but then they also get a lot of great artists and writers and stuff in that way too. So I think that's a nice little combo that they have going there. But yeah, I've got three this year. I've got Boston, I've got Baltimore, and I've got the New York City Con. So really, really good year for me. Hopefully next year I could try and get San Diego again.
Big con year for you. Big con, yeah.
Yeah, I definitely like the summer cons and stuff too. You notice they don't have cons in the winter. Well, I'm sure they do, but not any big ones, important ones. You know, the best ones are in the summer because that's when everybody gets out and has a lot of fun. So
that's where, you know, all the cosplayers can smell amazing.
Yes.
So last one I had, I talked about was swimming, and this one can also negatively affect you wanting to go swimming because it can not make you feel great about yourself physically, and that's going for some good ice cream. You know, it's nice. You know, you can technically eat ice cream anytime, but it feels the best in the summer. And
I feel awkward eating ice cream in the winter.
Yeah, you're like, you're not supposed to be here. It's like, yeah. I'm not a big fan of like the Cold Stone Creamery type of ice cream, where that's like garbage ice cream that gets maxed by throwing as much candy crap in it as possible. I enjoy like the more like, you know, milk based, where it's just like all you need is the ice cream. You don't need the additional stuff. I'm more traditional for when it comes to that. We actually, in this area that we grew up in, there was a place called Manning's Farms where it was legitimately a farm that had ice cream. Like, you know it was fresh because you could look outside and see the cows that it was coming, that milk was coming.
No, you smell the cows first, then you see the cows.
Exactly.
And you can pet the cows.
Because, you know, who doesn't want to pet a cow? But and I have some good places around me, too, now in Baltimore that have some really good like milk-based ice cream that I'm a big fan of. So, I mean, I have a lot of favorites, but still, I don't know if it's kiddish, but I still like cookies and cream is my go-to.
Oh, nice.
I'm a big cookies and cream fan. Or
chocolate chip cookie dough for me.
That's a good one, too. That's a good one, too.
I am a chocolate chip mint guy.
Really? Yes. Really? Going with the mint.
That is my favorite.
Like, I always felt like eating ice cream while brushing your teeth for me, for some reason. But
Another good one, you mentioned Manning's there. They had a, I think it was a strawberry cheesecake, which is kind of an oddball flavor, but it's like ridiculously good.
Nice.
Yeah.
Good time. But wow, we're bringing, so we're going through this rather quickly, but we're bringing it back over to you, Chuck. So what's last on your list? What is like your favorite thing to do in the summer?
Absolute favorite thing to do. Of course, it all comes back to food again. And I know Greg talked about this a little bit before, but I kind of wanted to save this for my favorite thing to do, and that is just having cookouts and barbecues.
Nice.
Whether it's at my own house or I go to family's house or friends, I don't know why. Like, this is, it's like how I gauge my summer, kind of, by like how many cookouts I was able to attend.
So you got to add in the cons plus the cookouts,
right,
plus the opportunity.
So you get an overall summer grade. You know, you try to get into that A range, you know, based on what you're able to do.
Sorry, you failed summer. You need to repeat it and do it again.
Okay, yes, cool.
I need to fail more often. But no, I love, I guess it's just like, obviously I love food and stuff, but just kind of getting the family together, getting all the friends together was always something that I thoroughly enjoyed. And I like different summer games and stuff. Like, I'm actually a big horseshoe fan.
Nice.
I love playing horseshoes.
I love playing it, but I'm really bad at it. So
I'm even worse.
And my dad and I actually entered a couple of tournaments. We had a lot of fun playing. We didn't win anything, but we had a lot of fun with it. So I do enjoy that. And I guess, what's the newer game? Cornhole?
Yeah,
which,
yeah.
I feel so wrong calling it that name, but I
feel like that's what they landed on. It's like, yeah, they couldn't.
I feel like we should just call it beanbag toss.
Yeah,
I don't know why.
Does that sound better? I was like, yeah.
I don't know why we have to be pressured into calling it cornhole, but that's a big thing that's at a lot of summer parties and stuff too. But I mean, anytime you combine like good friends and family and awesome food on the grill, it's just an awesome time for me, and I really, really enjoy it. Usually get as fancy as Greg with the cooking stuff. I pretty much
so fancy.
Well, I don't have the, let me put it this way, I don't have the patience to smoke something for 14 hours like you do. I put I put some cheeseburgers on for about 9 minutes, and that is perfectly satisfying for me.
I essentially just toss it on the smoker and let it go, get up to the temperature I need. Then I just kind of chill out while it's doing its thing.
Yeah, that's true. But I love, you know, burgers, steaks, hot dogs, even chicken. I mean, you name it. Anything, ribs. Anything on the grill. Ribs, yeah. Pretty much, like, if you can, you know, if it's meat and you can throw some barbecue sauce on it, and yeah, I will love it. So.
Very cool.
I highly recommend a white barbecue sauce for chicken. It's really good.
A white barbecue sauce?
White barbecue sauce.
I don't believe that I've ever seen it.
It is very good. Hmm. I'll show you in my book.
Is it like a tiger sauce, sort of, like with horseradish?
No, it's a mayonnaise-based sauce.
Oh, okay.
It's really good. It's kind of like vinegary and tangy and
stuff. I've had mayonnaise-based, but I never, like, equate it to barbecue.
Yeah, it's Carolina's the type of sauce.
Oh, okay.
All right, Greg, moving on to you, your last one. What is your favorite thing to do in the summer?
Yeah, I kind of fell short and really couldn't think of anything. But one of my favorite activities that's going to make me seem like a creep is watching women in skimpy clothes.
I did not see that one coming.
At least you're honest. Yeah. And I guess you can do that all summer long. So there you go.
Right.
Well,
some people should not be doing it.
Well, now that's bringing it on over to me. So mine kind of related to one that Chuck brought up, and you mentioned movies, and that's an big part of what I like doing. But what's special about the summer, though, when it comes to movies for me, is something I wish I would do more often, but I enjoy it when I can, and that's actually going to the drive-in.
Nice.
I haven't, you know, drive-ins are very few and far between now, so not everyone has the opportunity. I do have one. Actually, we have one in Scranton area where we are, and there's one in Baltimore where I currently live, and it's just, I don't know, it's something fun about it. It's laid back. It's, you know, just chilling out either in your car, or I prefer, you know, getting some lawn chairs on a nice day, like watching movies under the sun with the one near me. Like they actually have speakers outside, so you can play it in your car. You can listen to those speakers, and it's, you know, it's reminiscent of, they keep it kind of an old school feel too, especially even with the food and everything. Not that the food's old, but like they just it's really old, but now some good, you know, good drive-in food. You can even like, so we haven't done this, but we're researching like things to do in Baltimore, and one was going, I mentioned Chaps Pippi, was going to Chaps Pippi, picking it up, and then bringing it to Benji's Drive-In, which is a drive-in to, like, it's kind of like the full-on experience, which is something I need to do. We haven't really done that. We just tend to keep it small, but it's fun, and like, it's cheap. It's like $8 or so per person, but you end up seeing like 3 movies or so. They even do, like, the one near me does Dusk Till Dawn on Labor Day and Memorial Day weekend, and it's like ridiculous. It's literally Dusk Till Dawn, so it's like 6 movies or so with some shorts in between, and they occasionally will show like classic commercials and things like that, and like and some trailers and things. So it's just fun. It's just a good movie experience in a way. So
nice. I've actually never been to a drive-in movie.
Nice. Maybe you guys come to Baltimore. We should. The hard part is like it's hard to you gotta get like the weather, because I went the one time when it was kind of rainy and it was awful because like it just like you couldn't see it. Our windows would fog up, and not because of that, but because of the rain and stuff like that. So you'd have to turn your wipers on and turn your car on, and it was just a pain. So, it's weird though, like the drive-in near me, they're open to like mid-November, and which seems insane. Like, I don't know, like, you gotta get cold. But.
And Chuck has the best vehicle for drive-in movie theater, because you just back the truck into the spot, and then you could just chill out in the bed of the truck.
So maybe like throw an air mattress into the bed of the truck and just kind of like...
And some blankets and stuff. Yeah.
Perfect. Yeah, my car's not, that's why I tend to do the, get the chairs and hang out outside. And that's one that's okay to bring kids, because it's like, I think it's you're more spread out, it's more acceptable, and like you can be in your own car and stuff like that. It's
socially acceptable.
Yeah. So, all right. Very nice. But I think that will bring it to the end of this week's episode. So, we'd like to hear what you enjoy during the summer, what you thought of what we had to say. You can contact us in a number of different ways. Go to geekcastradio.com, comment on the episode post. Or you can interact with us. We're on Facebook and Twitter. Just search Talking in Circles. @GCRN. You guys are also on Twitter. What are your Twitter names?
I am @HeroicAgeChuck.
And I am @TheCreateForge.
And I am @MovieRevolt. But that'll be it for this week. We'll be back next week. Same time, same channel, same podcast feed. But for now,
this has been Chuck.
This has been Greg, or the Creepy Guy.
This has been Dan, and we've been talking in circles. We'll see you next week. So, do you have like a rating scale of like your favorite outfits to see during the summer?
Skimpy.
As little amount of material as possible.
Some people should wear more material, though.
When the how to wash tag is the biggest piece of material.
On this very special episode of Adventures In with Dan, Chuck, and Greg.
I can't believe Fuzzy T. Bear beat the stuffing out of Greg.
Seriously, Chuck? Too soon.
Sorry, my bad.
It's cool. I just can't believe he's actually in a coma.
I know, but Greg is strong. He'll come too.
Hello, gentlemen. I am Dr. Cunnilingus.
Seriously?
Yes, why does everyone ask me that?
No reason.
Your friend here, as you know, is in a coma, but he also suffered brain contusions, a broken arm, a broken leg, 3 broken ribs. We have set all the bones and cast them. Now it's all up to him to rest and heal up.
Awesome. Thanks, Dr. Carpet Muncher.
Dr. Cunnilingus.
All right, man. Thanks, Dr. Beaver Biter.
Whatever.
I can't believe it.
I know. I can't believe he survived all of that.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Wait, what were you thinking of?
I couldn't believe his last name was Cunnilingus.
Hi, I'm Nurse Bumfelt.
Dude, what is up with all the names in this hospital?
I don't know. What if Greg was awake? He would have a field day on this.
You guys might want to leave this room. I'm supposed to give your friend a sponge bath.
Greg leaps into a seated position with his eyes like saucers.
I'd like to feel that bum.
Greg?
With that, Greg slumps back into his bed.
No.
Is this the end of our trio? Will Greg survive? Will he actually get to feel that bum? Find out next time if the real-life Greg isn't being a lazy asshole.